When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Standing on North Bank podcast. This is a Wales Online production about everything Swansea City. My name is Matt Davis and I'm joined by Ian Mitchell-Moore, and as ever, plenty to talk about. Mitch, we'll start with Brentford game. They've enjoyed some good games against Brentford so far this season, quite high scoring. This was another one, but this one was a real, almost like a walk in the park, I felt.
Yeah, it was a pick of the bunch, 3 from 3 against a really good Brentford team this season, and I think there was an interesting notion after the game. They were talking about how their style seems to suit Swansea. They're not as physical, they're not set-piece led, and you know, that suits Swansea down to the ground. We saw that at Forest where they were undone by two corners. So yeah, they've scored, was it 13 goals against them this season, and Tuesday was by far the easiest of the lot. You know, scoring after 32 seconds certainly helps, but it was such a professional job, and they made a really good Brentford team look bang average. That's credit to the work that they've done this season, really.
They were, I think, pretty much from the off, they were completely dominant. They could have been more than the two goals up at half-time. Brentford kind of came into it in the early stages of the second half. But there were some really encouraging performances across the board. I mean, your ratings were really quite high, weren't they?
They were. I mean, a few of them, in hindsight, could have even been higher again. You know, Nordfeld didn't have a meaningful save to make, and
Hannah's sister is named.
Yeah, I was just going to talk about his distribution, but you know, in the end, we're talking about a long ball for Nathan Dyer, and that's credit to the players, because that's not something that they particularly worked on. But we could see after that second goal where Dyer scored, the bench went crazy, you know, jumping at Nordfeld, giving him praise, and it was obviously that they reacted to in the game. Brentford had such a high line, and you know, it was instinctive. They've been playing the way out from the back and scoring some lovely goals, but sometimes you don't need to do that. So, but yeah, in terms of the chances, you know, Selina hit the crossbar. Conor Roberts hit the post again with that chance from the one where Dan James went and scored. Dan James himself hit the crossbar. You know, it could have been 6 or 7 in the end.
Do you think they were working on that Nordfeld move from the training ground, or was that something that was perhaps worked on in-game? They might have seen the high line that the Bees were playing.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. We did ask Graham Potter about that after the game, and it seems to be the case that it was more the latter. You know, it was something that they reacted to during the game, because obviously, you know, that's not his method on the training ground. It's, you know, keep the ball, yeah, play from the back and go through the gaps that you make yourself. So, but they spotted, you know, Brentford play such a high line, and you know, they haven't got the most pace at the back either. And when you've got someone like Dan James who can, you know, he essentially created the own goal, putting Sorensen and all sorts of problems. So yeah, when you can see that that's an issue, you've got to be able to spot that and exploit it, and that's exactly what Nordfeld did.
Point number two I've got written down here, Nathan Dyer / Wayne Routledge, do they still have something to offer? Over the course of the second half of the season, you'd have to say, well, they've done extremely well. It's in some ways a little bit still baffling that they weren't used hardly at all in the first few months of the season. I mean, Graham Potter spoke about Wayne Routledge in his press conference this afternoon, didn't he?
He did, yeah. For those listening, we're speaking ahead of the game against Middlesbrough, but it's you know, they've both come in and done a great job. They're the two most experienced players. They're the players that have been at the club the longest at the moment. So we saw, particularly against Brentford on Tuesday, that was the example of where they're both desperately needed, you know, in terms of the balance and that sort of experienced head that sometimes is needed when you've got such a young squad. Mm. You know, we've rightly praised all the youngsters this season, but they played a massive part, because coincidentally it was the game against Brentford where they'd made the returns, having barely played in the first, was it 4 or 5 months? So yeah, they've had a massive part to play. And you know, speaking about Routledge today, he's out of contract in the summer. He's 34 years of age now, so realistically, where's he going to go after Swansea? And if he does stay, he's probably going to have to take a pay cut. But the, you know, from the hint from Graham Potter was that he wants to keep him, and there's every chance that could happen. So we'll see more on that front in the coming months when Trevor Birch is up and running.
Well, if you think about it as well, they're going to lose, well, they'll definitely lose Narsingh this summer. Huge question marks over Daniel James. Mm-hmm. And personally, yeah, I think that I think he'll leave. So perhaps keeping on board those two players who have still got something to give would be a decent idea. I'd like to talk about Matt Grimes. Matt Grimes playing in his third position.
I love talking about Matt Grimes.
Me too. That's the third position he's played this season. Second time he's played centre-back. I think he's played centre-back against
Man City. Yeah. What a time to play them.
I mean, be playing against a team like Brentford, and I suppose City, you know, they're not the sort of teams who are going to lump the ball into the box, and he's probably going to have more of the ball at his feet. And Graham Potter spoke about having a left footer in that position as well. He's just such a really intelligent footballer, isn't
he?
And he's played well in those three positions. It's not as if he's been sort of thrust. Well, he has been thrust in there, but he's done a decent job whenever he's been called upon.
He has, yeah. I mean, I think it's fair to say that by a country mile, it's clear to see his best position is central midfield, whether that's alongside George Byers at the moment, or probably in an ideal scenario, Leroy Fer when he's fit. But, you know, we've seen him play at left back. There's a few others, Connor Roberts, Kyle Norton have all played there. But the fact that he can slot in at centre back alongside Mike van der Hoorn as well, that's a testament to how good a player he is, because you see when he plays in centre mid, he's the man who drops deep for the ball. The two centre backs split, and he's excellent at that. But, you know, for him to drop deeper and still be able to do the same actions and get them going forward is it's impressive, really. So it just shows how important a player he's become, because he's not done much at Swansea before this season. You know, he's had some loan spells away, a good one at Northampton, although they ended up going down, so it was a sort of a bittersweet spell for him there. But he's become a key player under Potter, and one that sort of sums up exactly what this football team is under their current manager.
I think you can make a case for quite a few players for player of the season, but I think Matt Grimes has been mine, mainly because of his consistency and the fact that he's been asked to play in different positions.
He's certainly up there. He's in the mix.
Yeah. He's been... It'll be a certain case of horses for courses. Playing him in that position at centre-back wouldn't work in every game. I mean, playing him at centre-back against Nottingham Forest, wouldn't have worked. To be honest, they were undone by two set pieces anyway in quite frustrating circumstances, because they were almost carbon copy those goals, weren't they?
Same, two corners, both from the same side, flick on headers to the back post, and you just wanted to bang your head on the wall watching that happen. Mike van der Hoorn was...
Well, I was about to say Mike van der Hoorn pretty much did that, didn't he?
He was really frustrated after the game. We spoke to him pitch side, and he was absolutely gutted. He just couldn't believe that they'd lost that game, and understandably so, because they dominated the game. He spoke about him, I think it's him and Ollie McBurney, the only two six-footers in that team. Matt Grimes is, if you were going to put him at centre-back, you'd certainly call him diminutive, wouldn't you? So, as a long-term option, it certainly you wouldn't want that to be the case, especially against that type of opposition. Middlesbrough could be the same. Stoke sort of on Tuesday, that might be the same again, but against Brentford it worked a treat.
Was there any indication about Joe Roden perhaps being back for the weekend or the game against Stoke? I mean, his height would certainly help with his aerial ability.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there are concerns because he's been out for such a long time, and he is a young lad as well. It's been over 2 months since he had that injury against Sheffield United now, but Potter said he's making good progress. He's been on the training pitch for a couple of weeks now, and he's been playing as well as on top of his running work. So, yeah, you could well see him at the weekend, but if not, if he doesn't play against Middlesbrough, I imagine he'll be involved against Stoke.
We're likely to see two quite different opposition in Middlesbrough and Stoke compared to Brentford. These are going to be quite two physical opponents, especially on Saturday against a Tony Pulis side. Checks notes. Daniel James, has he outgrown Swansea and Leeds? That's something that I wrote yesterday. I'm not sure if I'm going to be welcome anywhere around Leeds anytime soon, but he was...
I don't know about the Liberty either.
I thought he was absolutely excellent again against Brentford. Every time he plays, he gets supporters onto their feet, off their seats. From a personal point of view, I think we've just got to enjoy him while we can, because I think there are going to be a lot of people queuing up for his signature, I think, this summer.
Pains me to say it, but I have to agree, because the quality of him, he's too good for the Championship. It's as simple as that. It doesn't matter whether it's Swansea or whoever in and around that mix. So he's such an exciting player, and you know, everything that happened in January, he's gone from strength to strength. To go and play his first game back against Leeds at Elland Road, you know, they're all chanting his name and saying he's going to be there next season, and that could well still be the case. But you know, we saw that goal against Brentford, but the way he played in that game was incredible. And exactly the same against Man City, he's been in front of these TV audiences, the same with Wales, Slovakia. So you know, the cat's been out of the bag for some time now. And funnily enough, I asked Graham Potter about it last week, and he said it was that the Brentford game really was the one where, you know, the secret was out. People sort of realised he's worth the hype. So he's just got better and better, and you don't give Swansea much hope of keeping him this summer. The only good thing you would say is that they managed to keep him in January, because they'd have lost him for a significantly smaller fee than they will do in the summer if he does go.
And that's going to be, we'll come on to Trevor Birch in a while, but that'll be one of his main priorities, is to get Daniel James tied down to a new deal and then to make sure they get a good fee for him this summer.
That's crucial.
If that transpires. I think, you know, he would be, if Leeds were to be promoted, I mean, I'm not saying that Leeds would be necessarily a bad move for him, but I just think there will be clubs of an even greater stature, or with more, perhaps more of a Premier League pedigree. I think, you know, you put in Mertz, you know, they've been linked with Leicester, and, you know, put him under Brendan at Leicester, I think that would be, you know, a good move for him.
There's been a consensus of that bracket, sort of the best of the rest, the Bournemouths, the Leicesters.
You'd have concern if you went to a Man City or a Tottenham that he'd get anywhere near their match day squads.
Yeah, you know, and that's not nothing to do with him. That's just testimony to the strength of their squad.
Exactly.
You'd say the same with Liverpool, and even to some of the not lesser, but the ones a little further down the league. So yeah, it would be nice. I don't want to talk about him going, because you don't want to see him go. But if the inevitable does happen, then you want to see him getting regular game time, because he's that good. You know, we've seen it with his Wales teammate David Brooks, who's gone from Sheffield United to Bournemouth, and he's playing week in, week out for them, and he's growing week by week under Eddie Howe. So if he was going to leave, you want to see him do that, and for the benefit of his own career, and obviously for Wales as well. So
you can like him very much to David Brooks as well. You think perhaps that the move from Sheffield United to Bournemouth, you know, he's already been linked with £50 million moves to Manchester United and Tottenham. He's almost, Bournemouth are that stepping stone in his career. You know, Daniel James isn't where David Brooks is at the moment, not playing week in, week out in the Premier League, but perhaps that is a blueprint, that is the example perhaps that he's got to follow, perhaps not going to a giant of a club.
First and foremost. Totally agree, yeah. I mean, you know, they're both 21 years of age, they've got years ahead of them, they've only just made the breakthroughs, more so Dan James, because, you know, he went to Shrewsbury and it didn't work out, he didn't play a single game there, so he only played the one game in the Cup for Swansea last season as well, so, you know, it's all newer to him, but we've seen the undoubted quality he's got, both for Swansea and for Wales, so, yeah, it's a nice comparison, because, you know, Brooks is in his first year in the Premier League, and he's you know, he's among the contenders for Young Player of the Season. Of course, got that award from the FAW at a recent awards ceremony. So, yeah, it's a very similar comparison. And, you know, again, I loathe to say it, because, you know, you can't talk about a player being gone, because he's still a Swansea player as we record this. But if he does go, you'd hope that it was somewhere where he's going to be playing regular, because, you know, he's talented enough, and you want to see him make that progression, really.
Oh, yeah, I think every Swans fan would obviously want him to stay put and to play another year or two here, but I think most people kind of expect that, you know, he's had such a rapid rise. He's saying he wasn't even playing for Shrewsbury last year, but is now almost the first name in the team sheet.
Yeah.
He's that player that really gets excitement levels up. You know, I don't think there's been a player like that since. I mentioned it in the piece that I wrote yesterday about Gilfy and, you know,
Jeff, when he was
on it, you know, he was a really exciting player and someone that could really raise temperatures, but he never did it on a consistent basis.
We're seeing Dan James do it every single game now. That's the key for me, and that's what sort of shows that he is, as you put it in your headline, you know, he's too good for Leeds, never mind the, you know, Championship and stuff. So Yeah, enjoy it while we can.
Yeah, that's so
just going to get my tiff you out and cry.
No, yeah, I'm not going to be going to Leeds on holiday anytime soon. next point. Trevor Birch, his first day today. I bet he's got a lot of, he probably have a lot of emails in his inbox already, I thought.
Yeah, I'd like to see his in-tray when he gets to Fairwood. But I mean, yeah, as we record, he was on his way to Swansea. So, you know, he's going to be having some more conversations with Graham Potter about, you know, the immediate future, the contracts that need to be resolved. You know, Dan James is one of them, Van der Hoorn another, Leroy Fer, Wayne Routledge, you know, there's a few there. And then, of course, the players that are out on loan, what happens with them? You know, your Boya Bastons, the Ayew brothers, Luciano Narsing, you know, is he heading out? Looks to be the way. And then, of course, small matter of the summer transfer window, can they bring anyone in to supplement what is already quite a thin squad? So,
and he's also
quite a lot for him to,
yeah,
to get
and
through.
Also, he's parachuted into this redundancy situation as well, off field problems. I mean, this decision to make the redundancies is obviously just an awful position to be in. This was decided before he was appointed, wasn't it?
Yeah. So, like you say, they've made the offer for people to take redundancies voluntarily. So, if that's the case, they, you know, they'll have to assess. They may not have to make any more redundancies. It depends how that works out. So, that's obviously something you're going to have to just play by ear. You know, you're not going to know until that's happened. But that's, you know, like we said, it was something that was decided before he came in. So, it's not something that is going to, it's not a nice situation for him to walk into. But, you know, he knows the scale of the task at hand when he took the job. So, yeah, there's a lot for him to ponder, really.
They announced, the club announced yesterday their accounts, saying that they were, I think, posted a 3.2 million loss for last year. We'll know a full sort of picture when the full accounts are posted on Companies House, in which we'll obviously do a much more in-depth piece on. But yeah, I suspect there's going to be more hard medicine this summer.
There will be, and you know, you mentioned in that statement that was, of course, after a reduction in staff payments, was it by 8 million, I think it was, as well. So, you know, and that's up to the accounts were July 2018, I think, weren't they? So, yeah, that phrase, hard medicine, the one that makes people want to smash the laptops or whatever's nearby, because, you know, it's all we've heard from Messrs Levine and Kaplan following the relegation. So, but again, you just got to come back to that point that it's testament to the job Graham Potter's done in terms of, you know, they've lost lots of key players. And he, you know, interestingly today said that he feels they're in a stronger position now than they were during January, even though they didn't bring any players in. So, you know, players like George Byers have come in and stepped up. You know, Jay Fulton's been in and out. And on top of that, all the other ones that have come from the academy already earlier on in the season. So, yeah, it's going to be another tough summer. Make no bones about that, but with someone like Potter in charge, you know, you do feel a little bit more confident, don't you?
And also, you know, they lost three players in January, in Montero, Boney and Carroll, who haven't really made much of an impact elsewhere. In fact, Tom Carroll is now back at Fairwoods.
Yeah, he's heading back. I think it's next week he actually gets back. He needs hip surgery. Obviously, he had that problem with Swansea. He missed about 3 months. He's only played twice for Villa. And, you know, the two clubs, along with Tom himself and his medical, you know, all the medical staff involved, they've made the decision just to cut season short, have the surgery, and hopefully he's, you know, with a good pre-season behind him, he can be ready to start again in August with Swansea if he's, you know, if he's still a part of the plans in the future.
A frustrating couple of years for Tom Carroll. Middlesbrough this weekend. I've got here about talking about Connor Roberts.
Yes,
had a spell at the Riverside under Gary Monk.
He
which
did.
Was slightly more successful than Daniel James at Shrewsbury, but
got games, yeah, not
but
many.
It still wasn't great, was it?
No,
and now, it was, you know, looking now, you know,
it was unfortunate for him because he went there at a time where I think they'd spent something in the region of £50 million. So, you know, they've got ambitions of going straight back up to the Premier League at that time. Obviously, that's not happened, and there's every chance that it might not happen this season because they've had a collapse. They've only won. They've lost the last five in a bounce, not one in six. So, yeah, they've dropped out of the top six, even though they're still in with a good shout. But yeah, on Roberts, I think he only played four games there, and, you know, they were, you know, bit part as well. I think three of those were in the cups. So he had Cyrus Christie and a few others ahead of him.
Yeah.
So, you know, by all accounts, it's not anything that he did wrong. It was just there were other more experienced heads in front of him, and in the end they just thought, you know, the decision was best to send him back to Swansea, and you know, he had to be patient here, as has Dan James and several others. You know, Matt Grimes, another one who had some loan spells away. But look at him now, you know, he's first choice right back. He can play in a number of positions. First choice right back for Wales, has scored his first goal for them as well last year against Ireland. So yeah, it's not been bad since he's come back.
And they've got Alan Curtis to thank for that, because he was the one who championed his cause when I think Rangel was injured and Colin Walters was suspended, or the other way around. I can't quite remember. And Kurt sort of said to Carlos Carvajal, "Look, this is the kid you want to be, yeah, looking at."
Yet another example of the fantastic work that Kurt's done at this club. So, you know, there was a big clamour for him to come into the team in the season they were relegated. You know, more often, and even under Paul Clement as well, when they had that. You know, up until the last five games, they were looking doomed, and I think they won, was it four of the last five in the 16-17 season? They had that draw at United as well. So there was a clamour for him to play a bit then as well, but, you know, he's come in now and he's proven his worth. He played a little bit under Carvajal last season and didn't look out of place in the Premier League, you know, in, granted, what was a poor team, struggling at the bottom, yeah, fighting for survival. They weren't exactly playing nice football. So, yeah, it's testimony to his work ethic, and, you know, Graham Potter's described him as a machine, which you can't disagree with, because he's played something like 47 games for Swansea and Wales this season and still got eight more to go. He's going to play the two Wales games in June as well, so he's, Duracell Bunny's not got much on him, really.
I mean, he started the season brilliantly. He had a little bit of a dip, but I think that's only natural for a young player who's played that much. But yeah, he's another one who's got an extremely, extremely bright future. Right, I think that's about it. Middlesbrough this weekend, be a tough game, I'm sure of it. You know, Pulis under a lot of pressure. I wouldn't be, you know,
he's under a lot more pressure than he was about a month ago anyway, so.
Well, there's been rumours about Woodgate, isn't there, coming in to replace
him. Yeah, that would be interesting. That would be very interesting. But yeah, it's, you know, two tricky home games with Middlesbrough and Stoke, but Swansea's home form's been excellent. Yeah, they've not lost in the league since Boxing Day. The only team to beat them in 2019 is Man City at the Liberty Stadium, so you have to fancy them, especially after the showing against Brentford the other night, and even the performances before the international break, and, you know, at Forest as well. So yeah, you have to feel confident that they can do the business, and it's just a shame there's not much more else to play for, really.
Great, okay, well, hopefully we'll be talking about two wins next week. Just a reminder, you can get all your Swansea City news on Swansea City Facebook. Well, what's the Facebook image?
Swansea City Wales Online.
Swansea City Wales Online.
And Swansea City Live is your Twitter.
And Twitter, there we are. Yeah, my glamorous assistant there filling in. And yeah, we'll be back next week.
Cheers all.
Cheers.